development of neurons in your brain.
And you obviously disagree with Francis Crick. On what basis?
Well, I think most people have disagreed with them throughout history, really. And if you look at all the great philosophers who've written in all the traditions, East and West, they've mostly said that mind, consciousness, awareness, thought and experience is the basic bedrock of reality. And what people like Crick have said is, no, you start with lumps of matter and you see what they do. But it's very difficult. It's a very minority view. And the reason for not holding it is that, well, when we think, when we feel, when we perceive, when we know our own experience, we know something that doesn't seem to be explainable in terms of physics or chemistry. It's something quite different. It's personal experience, and that personal experience that nobody else has access to. It's not in space, you know, you can't see my thoughts in space, but I know that they exist. Those things just don't seem to be material.
From a religious perspective, is the soul important mainly to account for life after death?
No, it's not, because, you know, the Old Testament didn't really believe in life after death until very late in the Old Testament. There was a gloomy sort of place called Sheol. The Romans called it Hades, but it wasn't a happy place and it was nothing to look forward to. So life after death was never a major factor in thinking about the soul. The major factor was, I think, this: have humans got a special moral responsibility for what they do in life? Can you hold them accountable? Are they responsible? Are their lives unique? Do you value them for that? Not for what they're going to be after death, but for what they are now. And that's what the Bible is concerned with.
Now, it seems that we should bring in the question of evolution here, and particularly the evolution of the brain, because it would seem to be highly relevant to this discussion. And I want to refer back to that famous announcement by Pope John Paul II in 1996, when he said, finally, that evolution is compatible with Christian faith. He said, evolution explains the development of life on Earth with one major exception, the human soul, which he said was created by God. Does that explanation make sense to you?
No, I think most Catholic theologians would doubt whether that made very much sense. I should make it quite clear that was not an infallible statement of any sort. That was his opinion. And, you know, theologians usually differ with the Pope on lots of things when he's just writing stuff. And I don't think he should have made an exception for the soul. There are lots of crucial stages of evolution. The beginning of life is one. The formation of the brain is another. The onset of consciousness is another. And then a later one than that is intelligence and a sense of continuing self-identity, which you might now call the soul, I suppose.
Okay, well, let's just play this out for a moment. If the mind is essentially the same as the soul in your definition, and the brain evolved historically at a particular point, what does that say about the state of the mind before evolution reached this more recent stage? I mean, 100 million years ago, can we talk about the mind? Can we talk about consciousness back then?
Well, we don't know, to be honest, because we don't even know today whether ants, for example, are conscious. I mean, are beetles conscious? Are frogs conscious? We don't know. I think it's possible. And if you want the crunch question, who gets life after death, right? I think it would only make sense for something to have life after death if it had a sense of personal continuance. I mean, if it knew it was the same thing that used to be a frog, right? If you had a frog which said, oh yeah, I'm the same frog that used to live in that pond, then I think that frog would be entitled to eternal life. Okay, so I'm all in favor of heaven for animals. Let's get them in there. But only animals which know that they are the animals they used to be. Probably that's the higher primates. And in England, it would include dogs.
I think in the United States, it would include dogs as well.
Okay, good.
What about computers, though?
Yeah, possibly computers. I mean, not the one I have, but some computers.
No, I mean, I think everyone agrees that computers can't think right now. I mean, they can compute extremely well, they can calculate, but they can't think like human beings. But
yep,
the jury is out whether they will at some point in the future, which I guess raises the specter of whether computers in the future might have souls.
Yeah. My answer to that would be a very definite yes. I mean, I'm not saying they will. I mean, I'm just saying it's possible. And if you constructed something which had a sense of moral responsibility and of guilt and all that, you'd have to give it the rights. You couldn't say human rights. You'd have to talk about personal rights. And then you'd have to say, yes, you could have an artificial person. You probably wouldn't even call it a